I don't ever feel imbalanced, ever.
Yeah, right.
So, and that is, you know, something that I'm pretty forthcoming with, but I think it's interesting because I think it, that people's perception is that we are actually quite balanced in how we live our life because they see, you know, social media and our posts. And so I think the perception is that we spend a lot of time together and that we have this very balanced life where we're doing that, which isn't actually the reality.
This is Leah Steele. Welcome to the Wealth Witch podcast. Just a few years ago, I experienced complete financial collapse. We lost a business, our home, and a car. My husband was selling plasma to pay for diapers and formula. I was living a life I hated, and I was miserable. It was the lowest part of my life. It ended up being my biggest blessing. Just a few short years later, I've designed the life of my dreams. I live a life of luxury in beautiful Bali, Indonesia, travel the world, and spend my days helping others manifest wealth and abundance. Living a purpose-led life changed everything for me. This podcast is about my journey, my top tips and tools for manifestation, and interviews with all the amazing, world-changing, inspiring people I meet along the way. Welcome to my world.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of The Wealth Witch Show. I am your host, Leah Steele, The Wealth Witch, and today I am joined by my husband, Sean Barnett, who was with me last, in June of last year, right after we started the podcast. He was on episode 13, which is one of the best performing episodes of all of The Wealth Witch podcast. So, and we've had many requests over the last year to come back and do it again. So we are here live in our house to record another episode for you guys and answer some questions actually that people had asked of us. And I've got some questions for Sean along the way as well. So welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's my honor to be here.
Awesome. So people are always asking us how we created this life we live, how we do the things that we do day to day. And so it's awesome, I think, for one thing, for us to kind of have an opportunity to be here and reflect on that, because I think we get really caught up in just the day-to-day living of our life. So yeah, I am super excited that you're here. I'm excited to be back kind of talking about some of these topics because neither one of us really do relationship coaching of any kind. And it's not something that we talk about a lot because I'm focused on my wealth stuff and you're focused on the work that you do and also getting ready to launch a podcast, Musings from the Lineup. So that's super exciting. So that'll be coming in the next month or so. And we'll make sure that we drop the link in the description of this podcast for you as soon as that podcast is live. But it will be happening everywhere that podcasts are streamed. So Musings from the Lineup is coming up for sure. Yeah, so it's just not something that we riff on a lot because I think it's an area and a place that we're always working on and we're working on growing and evolving. And in fact, we are in the middle of a long 5 to 7 week ceremony right now where we're working on our own personal stuff and growth in our relationship. So I think it's cool that it's the full moon here today.
Oh my gosh, did you see it this morning?
No, but I saw
it last
night.
I put it in my story. It was orange and huge, like a giant pumpkin.
And it's the strawberry moon?
Yeah, yeah. It was like pink orange or whatever.
Amazing. So yeah, I saw it last night as I was trying to get the rat out of my shower that our lovely cat brought us as a present last night.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's, I guess, just begin with, what do we want to start with? I guess, tell me a little bit about, from your perception, what it's like to be in a relationship with me, because I think this is a question I get all the time, is like, wow, he's so supportive, like, he must be so patient, he's, because people see how I work. So maybe just talk a little bit about that, and what it's like to be in a relationship with me, and how you manage how I live my life.
Well, first of all, I mean, you know, the foundation, right, is that I've fallen madly in love with you. You know, that's the baseline. Without that, I don't think I could do it, you know? And our relationship, you know, without going too deep into history, was built on friendship, you know, and then, and it's interesting. I think a lot of people have the passionate love first and then the friendship later. And ours really has gone the opposite way. Our relationship was built on friendship first. I've definitely been attracted to you since the first day I met you, but we were really friendship first and romance. We've sort of built and worked at it over time. So my experience of how this is working and how this has worked is that when things have gotten really difficult, originally, you know, when I was like an immature man, I would just point fingers and you need to do this and you need to, you know, and I think at some point, do you remember back when we used to joke? It was when Trump was on The Apprentice and we knew that thing that if you point with one finger, there's three pointing back. So we started pointing like that. We'd make jokes, be like, it's your fault. And we'd make sure we pointed with all our fingers. But that thing of going, no, you know what? Every time I point my finger, there's three pointing back at me. I'd say, especially around 6 years ago, I started whenever we were really having troubles, instead of looking for you to fix the trouble, I realized my problems are my problems and it's for me to figure out how to handle my emotions, you know, and my bullshit and not project it onto you. So I think one of the reasons we work so well is I have done a lot of men's work. I have done a lot of projection work. I have done a lot of shadow work and a lot of shadow integration and a lot of accountability work. And you really, I think another reason we work so well together is you're all about accountability. Like that's sort of one of the foundational pieces of your entire platform. And when both of us have adopted accountability and sovereignty as a core principle and you know, a core principle in the relationship. And I think that those two pieces in particular really help things run smoothly.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So I guess what are the challenges for you in regards to doing life with me and how, because I think one of the questions people ask a lot is because they know or sort of see the amount of work that I do mm-hmm. and what that requires. Mm-hmm. And so the question is always like, oh, where are the sacrifices? Like you can't have this life that you're living and also have this well-rounded family life. And to which I always answer, actually, no, I don't. Like right. That is something that I have to work on a lot. So what is your experience of that when it comes to our relationship and maybe even just the family and all of that?
Well, I think one of the misconceptions about balance, right, is that I think people go, oh, well, that means every day needs to be perfectly balanced. You know, oh, I'm going to 4 hours here, 4 hours here, 4 hours here. Every week is perfectly balanced. We might go a week and not have much family time, but think about like when we've been to Rayavadi and been to Thailand and been and traveled the world. And we, you know, there's balance happens in a weird way. And especially for us, we live our lives very mystically guided, very divinely guided. We follow synchronicities. You know, this life for all of us, I think, has just been incredible. You know, I think balance is sort of bullshit. That's my experience. I've never experienced balance in the way, like, I think that's just crazy to even think that each day is going to be balanced. We're going to have 2 hours romantic time, 2 hours exercise time, 8 hours of work, da da da. That's just not.
Yeah.
So I think letting go of those old, you know, the 50s family, what it's supposed to look like, you know, the Leave It to Beaver family, that's not us. And that's not our, it's not our generation. It's not our relationship. It's not who we are. So.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, I don't ever feel in balance ever. Yeah.
Right.
So, and that is, you know, something that I'm pretty forthcoming with, but I think it's interesting because I think that people's perception is that we are actually quite balanced in how we live our life because they see, you know, social media and yeah. our posts. And mm-hmm. so I think the perception is that we spend a lot of time together and that we have this very balanced life where we're doing that, which isn't actually the reality. I mean, the reality is that I've been working very hard over the last 5 to 6 years to build this business. And that has required a lot of sacrifice of you, of the family.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think we definitely also, and I think you're really good at this and it's, you know, it's something that's really great for me is it's like, okay, let's go do something. It's time to do something with the family. And like, we just went to the trampoline park with Jack on Sunday and had tons of fun doing that.
We do our VR. We do, you know, we do a lot with our kids and with each other. And I mean, romantically and physically, I think this is the best our relationship has ever been. And it's in the midst of this chaos or whatever, or this kind of, I don't know if it's chaos. It's this, you know, really getting a lot done when there's a lot of action going on, when there's a lot being built, you know, that's the price. So everything has a cost and you know that there's, it's, and I think when people will say, you know, how do we get balance? I think there's this preconception of, you know, that, that life's going to be comfortable, you know, and it's constantly this, anything worthwhile takes not being comfortable, takes sacrifice and being out of the comfort zone. The path to the comfort zone is the path to mediocrity. And, you know, so it reminds me of, you know, there's certain, I think in a Harry Potter movie or whatever, this one kid, he wants 38 gifts, you know. Do you want 38 cheap gifts or do you want one big, fat, nice gift? And I think you and I are both of that same mindset. We would prefer to not get a bunch of little things to have something really awesome, you know?
And I think the kids are like that now too.
And the kids have kind of become that too. Yeah. Instead of every weekend we're doing some little thing or whatever, when we go to some awesome place for a week or 10 days and detach from the world and it's just something epic, that's where we get our balance. So I think we do a lot of epic things and we don't do a lot of little minutiae type things. So I think that's, and there's nothing wrong if somebody likes little gifts all the time instead of big gifts, that's fine. You know, I think you and I are just sort of big gift people instead of little gift people.
Yeah. So that actually takes me to a question that was asked. Because one of them was tips for balancing family, work, marriage without losing sleep. So sleep isn't something, I mean, sleep is something that like I treasure and I don't get as much of it as I would like. So I don't think that that's even, I mean, that's not even in my ability to conceive of what it would feel like to be fully rested. And I don't know that that will be for any time in the near future because we're building empires really at this point.
Exactly. You know, in some of this shamanic work that I do and have done and the training, I started playing around with this idea. And it's really been quite interesting how little sleep I actually need. Is I sleep when I'm tired or do my best to take a nap and I stop sleeping. I get out of my bed when I stop dreaming. And it's really interesting. I took a cat nap yesterday and I was like, I'm so exhausted. And I expected to be asleep for like 2 hours. And I was still tired when I woke up, but as soon as I stopped dreaming, I got up and I looked at the clock. It was only 20 minutes. And about 5 minutes later, I felt better. You know, I'm more of an early to bed. You're a later to bed. I'm earlier to rise. You're later to rise. But this process that I've been doing on my side of only eating when I'm hungry, only sleeping when I'm tired, and get my ass out of bed when I'm not dreaming has changed everything for me. So yes, I want to sleep more, but that's more about being comfortable. Once I said, okay, I'm not going to be in bed unless I'm dreaming, that changed a lot for me.
So this question was tips for the divine masculine on holding space for their counterparts that are doing divine mission work.
Mm, I love that. And my first caveat, which you know, I'll always talk about this. I feel, and I get the question, and I think it would be better stated for men, you know, instead of saying divine masculine, it would be saying men, you know, because masculine is not exclusive to men, and we know that, but tips for men to support their partner.
Or partner, I guess.
Partner or whatever. Yeah, because it wouldn't matter. In divine purpose work, again, comes back to shamanic work. So this one of my mentors, a guy who's currently probably the mentor I'm working with most, Antero Alley, that I've told you about. he had me solve a riddle or proposed a riddle. And when I solved this riddle, I actually cried. And I haven't talked to you about this. And it was back on Nyepi. For those who don't know, Nyepi is this is silent day. We spend 24 hours in silent day. And I figured out this riddle. And gosh, it makes me want to cry right now. But this is the number one tip that I would give. And it was, how do you capture a beautiful bird without killing it? And the way I really pictured the question is, how do you capture a beautiful bird without killing its spirit? And you're the most beautiful bird, you know, you're the phoenix, the angel, the every in my eyes, you're this most beautiful bird. And really, how do I capture you without killing your spirit? And when I solved the riddle, the answer to the riddle is become the sky. And that, you know, in all the work I'm doing and working around this sort of archetypal psychology, or, you know, it's the same way that I play around with Tarot as I look at all of the major arcana as archetypes of self. But this ability to know what it's like to be the sky with this beautiful bird, and then, and this is the way to capture the beautiful bird, is to become the sky. And it's just so beautiful. I can't put it in any more beautiful terms than that, that's the way, that's the trick, you know?
You would think that we coordinated these outfits we're wearing for this story, but yeah. We did not.
I've never even told you that, you know?
No,
I've kept that,
that's
I've
awesome.
Kept that to my, you know, kept that tight to my pocket. I think that in itself is also another trick we do, is we don't have to tell each other everything we're doing. We strategize internally, you know, of how do I balance this or how do I frame it? Because that's what it comes down to. In any given moment, I could get resentful, I could get jealous, I could be like, you're not spending enough time with me, I could get selfish, I could get all this stuff. But if I learn ways to frame reality in a way that's beautiful, then the relationship works. And when, again, coming back to, if I'm upset or I'm feeling selfish, I look at what's underneath that. You know, generally, if I'm feeling selfish, somewhere underneath, I feel like I didn't get enough as a kid, or I'm not enough. It's some worthiness issue from my childhood. And so I go off and address that. That's been something you've been so beautiful in reflecting back to me, my wounds, and then not trying to soothe them for me. You know, you did a lot of work on codependency and stuff back during my last incarceration. And afterward, I read the books that you were reading, and I studied codependency and this concept of, you know, if you want a shitty life, just participate in victim, perpetrator, hero. And if you want a great life, operate in accountability, supportive, and you can do it, we can do it, how can we do it, that type of way. So
if everyone on the planet just listened to that,
yeah,
just now, what a different world we'd be living in right now.
Yeah, the whole world.
Everyone's living in victim, perpetrator.
Yeah. And yeah, you can feel, and that's the recipe for low vibrating, shitty life. Yeah. 100%. And as soon as you leave that and go, I'm accountable, I'm vulnerable. And then if I go to support you, the only way, I never try to do it for you. There's either two things that I would say: how can we do it together? Or I know you can do it. That's it. That's the way we support each other.
Yeah.
How can we do it together? Or I know you've got this. Meanwhile, I'm accountable. I'm vulnerable. I'm open. And it's my responsibility to control my state of being, my state of mind. That's that sovereignty piece, right?
Yeah. So I think that, you know, in large part, our work lives are actually quite separate.
Mm-hmm.
And
really,
so you really aren't involved in much that goes on inside the Leah Steele brand.
No.
So I think that that's probably another misconception, that they yeah. think that you're really involved or that you know a lot about what's going on. It's like, when I'm in work mode, I'm basically like,
yeah,
on like,
well, we've tried that a bunch of times.
Yeah.
And when you get in boss bitch mode or whatever, that's awesome. And it's great. And it's not great for our relationship.
Yeah.
I don't do well with that, you know? So we've just figured out ways to each do our own thing and find ways to add value to you know, whether it's the businesses, yeah, the family, the, you know, our relationship or whatever. So we each are always looking for where are our strong suits, and then just dump 100% of our value into the strong suit, rather than how can we split the work or how can we split the load? Because, yep, I think the beautiful thing of you and I is we're yin and yang. We're not the same. My strengths are not your strengths. Your strengths are not my strengths, you know? So
yeah,
that's been, yeah, really.
So, I mean, I think for me to answer that question is, I think I feel best supported when I'm just allowed to do my work.
Yeah.
And when I'm allowed to like answer that call of when I feel like I'm being called by purpose or being called by that mission, mm-hmm, to just be left alone to be able to do it.
That's it.
And I mean, I think you're amazing at that. And, you know, I don't ever feel like you interrupt that. And I think that takes a very special type of person to be able to do that, because
thanks,
sometimes it's a lot.
Yeah, there was a time, you remember back way back in Salt Lake when we were fighting all the time and whatever, that, you know, there have been moments. It's not like, you know, no, I don't want the audience to think we've been perfect at
been
it
like
the
this
whole time. Oh,
yeah,
you're just
no,
always awesome at it. But, you know, even as you say that, I know I've adopted that relationship where no matter what kind of beautiful bird you're being, you know, wild or calm or whatever, when I'm just the sky, you know, then I have you and you can go all about wherever you want. It's such a beautiful relationship, you know?
Yeah, I like that. That's great. The questions are all kind of similar, actually, yeah, interestingly, mm-hmm, enough. But the next question was, how do you make sure you both get to be on purpose while also having a family?
Mm.
And again, I would say that like, we haven't really done this yet,
yeah,
right? Like,
yeah,
because it's been me, mm-hmm, doing my purpose work and delivering my divine mission while, yeah, you've been more supporting the family.
Yeah.
And now you're getting ready to kind,
yeah,
of step into doing your purpose work.
Yeah.
And so,
well, and that's actually, I think the audience would like to know that we kind of came to a head, you know, not that long ago, maybe 4 months, 5 months ago. Remember when we kind of were, had a, not an argument, but it was a struggle. It was like, what are you going to do, Sean? And I'm like, I want to do this, but I'm, you know, doing all this stuff with the kids or the family or the household and da da da. And I think something that's really cool is we trust each other enough to be able to have an argument and know that no matter what, within 24 hours, we're not going to hold grudges. Even if we struggle or feel like we can't get what we want out of our mouths, you know, at the time, we're both pretty good at not taking shit personally. I think that's something that both of us have developed that really well. And that doesn't mean we don't take things personally in the middle of the melee or whatever, but quickly we go, okay, anything that I'm upset about is me. But yeah, it's true. Just, it's only been 3 or 4 months that I've felt I'm free to really go after what I, you know, want to do. And so I'm writing this book and launched the podcast and I've taken on new coaching clients and, you know, all that stuff. So it's been really great. Also, we weren't in a financial place for me to be able to do that, you know, a few years ago. When you started building your business, we couldn't afford a staff and daycare and constant help with the family and things like that. We were really broke at that moment. And I was trying to do a coaching thing. You were trying to do a coaching thing, but you were just way better at it than I was. And you exploded a lot faster. And I had to swallow pride and be like, okay, the truth is you're better at it than I am. And, you know, instead of, no, I have to be the man or whatever, I just chose to pay attention to results and then trust that if we kept on the path that my time would come, and here it is. So that's awesome.
Yeah, amazing. So, I mean, this question's interesting because the question is, what intimate practices do you guys have to still be connected while building a business together? So we don't build a business together.
Yeah,
is the first
yeah,
answer to that
yeah,
question.
We build our own businesses.
We build our own businesses. And
we,
you know,
support each other.
Well, and I think that we certainly do have business ventures together,
mm-hmm,
and together and with other friends, and that will continue. Yeah. And we're getting ready to relaunch the skincare, yeah, which is a family business, yeah, that now will also be partnered with the Michelle. So
yeah,
we have joint ventures and sure, businesses that way. Mm-hmm. But I think regarding the question that they're asking, that business, we don't actually do that together.
Yeah.
So, you know, while I certainly consult Sean about large expenditures, if we're making mm-hmm, large expenditures, like I run the Leah Steele brand, yeah, and, you know, and I do occasionally, if I get stuck mm-hmm, in something or I get yeah, to a place where I feel like I can't see what's going on, Sean's the first person that I go to because I know that he can always usually see what I'm not seeing. Mm-hmm. So I will go to him in those cases and in those scenarios to yeah, ask for help.
Yeah. And there's little things hey, can you do this? Can you pick up this? Yeah. Can you, you know, so, and I like doing that stuff. So it's a good deal, but I don't know what she means intimate though.
Yeah. So. I think it's more about like, how do we remain connected?
Mm.
In the midst of all of the,
and I think it's, you know, the audience would be valuable to the audience to know we work at that.
Yeah.
We are intentional about that.
Yeah.
We set, hey, let's have date night. And then we do well at that for a little while. Then we fail.
And then we stop.
Yeah. And then we find ourselves, oh, we need to do it again, you know? And so yeah, we're constantly picking ourselves back up and going again. And I think there's a differentiation. I don't know if that's the right word. I don't think we cut ourselves slack, but we're compassionate to ourselves when we fail.
Yeah.
So I think we still hold ourselves accountable and be like, this, you know, we've got to do better at this.
Yeah.
And at the same time, we're compassionate to ourselves and compassionate to the other. And we're not like, and you didn't follow through on your commitment. And I, you know, oh, I feel all shitty about myself because I didn't follow through on my commitment. It's like we show compassion to self and other, and we don't cut ourselves slack. We go, yeah, we set this and we're out of integrity and pick ourselves back up and you keep working. Discipline is something that takes practice.
Yep.
You know, you just practice.
Yeah. So, and like I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, we are in the middle of, we've yeah, gone to work with this shaman that we really love and respect. And we are in the middle of a multi-week ceremony with him mm-hmm, that we invested in and decided to do to work on our relationship. Mm-hmm. And so for me, this year was, you know, the last 4 years, New Year comes around. My goals have been for the last several years around building this business, hitting certain income goals. And this year, after having the best financial year of my life, or of our lives, mm-hmm, and having such an incredible year in every way, mm, like
everywhere,
friendships,
yeah,
just
everything,
financial growth, like yeah, where we live, just everything.
Cool adventures.
Yeah.
Like, dude, everything. I could just go, yeah, oh, it's just
so
been magical.
This year, I was like, okay, where do I really need to focus? And so my two focuses this year were my physical health mm-hmm, and my relationship with you and the relationship with the kids. Mm-hmm. And so that has really been my journey this year. And that's really what I'm journeying. And it's been a little bit of a struggle for me because I am noticing that my focus is moving off of making money. Mm. And while we're still making good money, I'm yeah, not in that steep upwards trajectory that I've been the last few years. So I've been having a little bit of
yeah,
inner struggle with that, but still being committed to yeah, my decision, yes, which was that was what I was going to focus on this year. So that is how I think that's how you create balance, right? Mm-hmm. 4 years I focused on the business. Now mm-hmm, I'm like, okay,
yeah,
it's time to focus on the family. And yeah, that may seem crazy to some people, like, how'd you go 4 years? It's not that I didn't focus on my family at all, but that was right, the priority.
Right, right.
And now I'm like, no, now this is the priority. Yeah. And now I'm struggling with the like,
right,
that's wanting what we to were focus on the about, business.
It's not in some sort of perfect geometric shape by day, you know, hour, day, month, week. It's a bigger, and we just trust that, you know, I think that's the thing, is that you and I live our lives based on divine guidance, intuition, synchronicities, what images appear, what is in front of us rather than trying to force it. And so we both, I think, just trust that in the end it all works. In the end, the balance may be that, you know, who knows? Maybe the in the end, balance does exist. And we'll find out when we get to the end.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying this episode of the Wealth Witch podcast. I wanted to take a quick break to talk to you about an amazing offer I have to work with me like my high-end clients do for a fraction of the investment. If there's anything that the last several months of chaos and change has showed us, it's that our perceptions of what is safe, stable, and secure is anything but. You are your guarantee. You are the key to unlocking and calling in the wealth that you desire. If you don't already know, I'm all about belief and intention. And for me, deciding is the most important action you can take. So I don't need to convince you. You'll either resonate with this or not. The only prerequisite that you need to have is a desire to change your current financial reality. This mastermind I'm about to tell you about is about empowering you to take back control of your financial destiny and take action towards creating the life that you deeply desire. The Wealth Alchemy Mastermind is hosted via the Telegram app, and I've set it up in a way that it's accessible. This is an incredible opportunity to work with me in this mastermind at a special pre-launch rate of $44 a month. Yes, you heard that right. Just $44 a month to work with me at the same level that some of my high-end clients do. So what do you get? Weekly exclusive content and training, a monthly Zoom coaching call, a monthly Q&A session, wealth paradigm downloads, wealth activations, and a mastermind chat full of like-minded community. You aren't doing this mastermind for the content. You're doing it for the transmissions, period. You will be activated with abundance just by being in this container. But you have to act fast. The pre-launch offer is only available for a limited time. So click the link in the description of the podcast and sign up now. I'd love for you to join me. So do the thing. Now back to the podcast. What would be one thing that you think it's really important for my listeners to know about me? That maybe they don't know.
Well, there's so much beauty. One, I think it does come out every once in a while when you're like dancing or being playful or whatever, is there is this sweet little girl underneath. And I know you don't put that out there that much, but there is a sweet little girl. You're not all boss bitch. You're not all wealth witch. You're not all, you play that role very well. And that is a strong suit of yours. It's a strong archetype in your psyche, but there's also a vulnerable little girl and a sweet little girl, and you truly care. And I don't think anyone sees that behind the scenes. I've seen, you know, you be mama bear when you hear of, you know, other coaches out there taking advantage of people. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And also how committed you are to never doing that, that you always give more value than you take. You're constantly, you care. You care a lot. And I don't know that that really comes across, because it seems that you're seen as always delivering the message, always being on point, you know, that type of thing. But when the cameras are off and that, you really care and you contemplate a lot. And I've seen you lose sleep about it. You do a lot of work in contemplation behind the scenes and under the covers and, you know, that type of thing. And I don't think people see that.
And I mean, I don't feel like either of us probably feel prepared to give any relationship advice, because I know that's really our work and we don't do that. But I get a lot of clients that come to me and say, oh, my husband's really struggling with the work, like the work that they're doing with me. And I almost always say, you should have your husband listen to that podcast I did with Sean.
Yeah.
So what would your advice be to someone in my audience who has started this journey of doing wealth consciousness work and their partner isn't fully on board, or their partner, you know, thinks it's too woo or too...
I get what you're saying. You know, I think the one thing is that the person doing the purpose work cannot save the partner. You know, we know when I was like, you know, you just went, all right, I guess you're going to struggle until you figure it out. And you let me wallow in my own shit until I figured it out. And thank God for that, because that's what brought me to that, you know, understanding of the merging of the anima and self, you know, and defined, you know, where the thing that I wanted from you, you weren't built to give me that. You know, I wanted this motherly, nurturing slut of a wife, right? And I had to find that within myself. I had to find a motherly, nurturing slut within and embrace her inside of me, inside of my psyche, and find a way to soothe and integrate all the broken parts of me. And once I did that, I could see clearly. And then I could be a supportive husband. I could be there. But it's an inside job. And that's, you know, that's the sad part. Anyone who tells you that they have some solution for you to fix that is full of shit, because it's an inside job. It's always an inside job. It's up to each individual to heal the wounds inside themselves. And of course, one thing that you did that this would be beneficial is that you set the boundary. Hey, I'm taking care of myself and I'm going to do this purpose work and here's what I'm going to do. You weren't an asshole to me. You weren't like, oh, and you're on your own, so suck it. You know, you were like, you would express that you see my pain, you understand it, you'd listen, but you wouldn't try to fix. And you held a firm line on that of not fixing, but listening, being compassionate, being caring, until you couldn't take it anymore, until you're like, okay, you've said the same thing 15 times, Sean. You know, I don't know what to tell you. Good luck with that. I love you. You know, and you would let me wallow in my misery.
Well, and I think for me, like on that, you know, the other thing that I knew how important it was that I shift my mindset when I started doing this work. Yeah. And it, I had to put blinders on at some level.
Of course.
Because we weren't on the same page.
Right.
But there was something in me that knew.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that you always say that I think is really important is like, you trusted me even then when things were so crazy. You trusted me enough that you were like, okay, you can do this. But I knew and you knew that I had to produce results with it.
You had to deliver.
Yeah. And so that is why I worked so hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like why I was like, I will not fail at this.
Yeah.
Because I was committed and determined to go down this path.
Yeah.
And I knew I had to deliver results.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that you've said in the past, I think that's really helpful, that might be helpful to some of the listeners is it was like, draw your line in the sand.
That's
but
it.
But you better be prepared to defend it.
That's
like,
it.
Like you have to deliver the results at that point.
That's it. That's understanding healthy boundaries, you know, where we go, okay, I'm doing this. This is my boundary. This is my line in the sand. And then the other person gets to go, all right. But if you don't score, you know what I mean? I'll let you take the ball and run. But if you fumble, you know, then I'm taking the ball. You know, it's a little bit of a competition almost.
Yeah. Which is good. And I like competition.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Which works for both of us. Yeah. We're both very competitive. So
maybe one question about how, because you're an amazing dad, and I think a lot of people don't get to see that. Mm. I feel really blessed because you are so supportive of the boys when I'm working and, you know, when I'm in that crazy work mode, they definitely get the majority of their nurturing from you, all three of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think maybe Jack's still a little more from me, but that's just because we spend more time together in the evenings. But definitely for the other boys, like, want nurturing, you go to dad. Like, none of them come to me. And so maybe just a piece of advice for, because this is the other question people ask me a lot, is how do you model for your children how important it is to follow purpose and to live purpose-led.
Yeah, well, that's the big key, right? That and again, it's I learn through metaphor, or I look at things through metaphor. And there was that, it was like a proverb that the dad said to his kid, watch your step. And the kid said, you watch your step, Dad. I'm following in your footsteps.
Yeah.
You know, and that metaphor really hit me. It hits me again, you know, that, oh, you know, instead of the old parenting style or how I was raised was always watch your step, kids. You know, that was what my parents would always tell me. You're out of line. You're stepping out of line. Watch your step. And to have it get put back and be like, you watch your step, Dad, because I'm following in your footsteps. That metaphor is what drives me. That's how I guide myself. And then the second thing, which both you and I have followed since we found it, seems like since we had kids, was Khalil Gibran on children. Yeah. And anyone who hasn't read that poem, it's all laid out right there. Your children are not your children. Their life's longing for itself. And though they come through you, they don't come from you. And the archer sets its mark and each arrow flies swiftly on its target. And I'm not the archer, but I'm the bow. And as the archer loves the arrow that flies swift and sure, so he loves the bow that's stable. And you and I both, I think, have fallen in love with that poem. And that is how we parent. I think both of us follow that. And if either of us stepped out of the boundaries of what was laid out in that poem on children from The Prophet is the book, we'd be on each other and be like, hey, you're not doing that.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's been the biggest key in parenting. Now, as far as me being more nurturing than you or whatever, that just has to do with our natures.
Yep.
Right. And, you know, there's a part of me that's super masculine. And there's a part of you that's super masculine. There's a part of you that's super feminine. And there's a part of me that's super feminine. And I don't really bring my feminine into this relationship. And I get to express it more with the kids and that type of thing. And you allow that and don't make fun of me or anything like that or make me feel like, you know, I'm less of a man because I'm, you know, more feminine with the children, right? But you certainly have your feminine moments with me. Like, you kind of save your masculine for your clients, for your business, for that type of thing. And then you get to share the feminine with me. And you do it with the kids too, whether you see it or not. You really do it well with the kids. And I don't think you give yourself enough credit for how motherly and nurturing. You're a great mother. You're a really great mother.
Thank you. You know, I think on the kids, because people ask this a lot, I think for us, it's just allowing them to have the freedom to discover who they are.
Right.
And without us programming them or conditioning them. And it's really hard, you guys. Like, it's really easy to say you want to do that. And yeah, we've done it a little bit. So obviously, poor Jake.
Yeah, poor Jake.
He didn't get it.
He didn't get it very good.
You know, Josiah was about
50-50.
Yeah, Josiah's gotten about half of his life where we've been allowing him to be, and Jack his whole life.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be an interesting experiment for us to see the difference in our three boys. But it is for all of them now about allowing them to be to the freedom to be who they want to be.
That's 100%.
And not imposing our will upon them or our perceptions of what's good or bad or right or wrong. And we have one of the most strong-willed, strong-spirited children, I think, on this planet. And so that has been extremely challenging for us with Jack. But, you know, he knows who he is.
Yeah,
and there's no way he's not going to be ridiculously successful.
Right.
Because he's been allowed to just develop who he is, which I think is really a beautiful thing.
Yeah. That's been really cool doing that with you. That's been really cool because both of us were programmed. You know, our upline providers were like, this is what you do and here's what you, and we were both defiant as shit. So we were constantly like, you know, we grew up fighting the boundaries and this and that. And to have the opposite, it's been really cool to do that with you.
Yeah, it's been amazing.
Yeah.
So tell us before we leave a little bit about what's next for you. Tell us a little bit about the podcast and a little bit about the book.
Okay. Well, you know, the book originally started with this, like I was trying to write some sort of instructional book of, you know, using things that I learned in overcoming addiction or in men's work and that, and I realized it wasn't working. So the book is going to be a book of metaphor. It's going to be definitely shamanistic. It's going to be a blend of strategies, but through metaphor. So it's going to be much more open interpretation. And if the book leads anyone anywhere, my intention in writing the book is that it leads people to themselves, that it leads people to who they really are. And that's the book that I'm writing. Musings from the Lineup started, you know, a few years ago. I just was divinely inspired and started doing these little Facebook lives. And it was so interesting because I had a terrible camera presence. I didn't know how to talk. And it was like, I knew I was just supposed to work on this. So I would go surfing. I do this meditation. When I paddle out to the outside of the wave, I always do this prayer to Mother Nature, to Mother Ocean, Pachamama, I call it. And I say, okay, I will let you experience yourself through me as I experience myself through you. And I carry the spirit of the ocean in my heart while I surf. And I feel that the ocean itself is getting to experience herself through me as I experience who I am through her. And that relationship has caused this thing where when I paddle back out and I sit out on the edge, it's like I just have access to what I think you would call the Akashic Records or the Akashic Field, or this just infinite field of data and wisdom from Earth. And what I do is I bring those musings back into my Musings from the Lineup. Over 158 episodes or something.
Which are all on your Facebook right now.
Which are all on my Facebook. Yeah. I've refined it. Sometimes I would think I was doing a musing, but really I'd just rant about coronavirus or something. You know what I mean? Or just go crazy. So the podcast is much more refined. It's much more... Also, on Facebook Lives, people are constantly like talking, so I get off track and that type of thing. I'm generally picking a subject that comes through inspiration from the ocean, and then I'm sharing that, again, mostly through metaphor and personal story. So rather than trying to tell somebody what to do, I'm just expressing what I'm experiencing through metaphor and how that relates to certain fundamentals or principles that we are using in our lives to create success. So it's a sort of a shamanistic surfer spin on principles and fundamentals for success, I suppose. Something like that.
Awesome. So we're working on a launch. It will definitely be out this month.
Yeah, yeah.
In the month of May.
Yeah.
So super excited to see that come to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be really cool. I'm excited for it. And I know a lot of this audience will also be listening to it. So
yeah, and the goal from all that, eventually I'd like to do speaking engagements. I've always seen myself as a public speaker, and that's on the deeper horizon, but we figured the book and the podcast would be foundational, and then I can expand into other things.
Yeah.
And I'm still doing my coaching. I still do this weird form of addiction recovery coaching that you know, we would always say back when I first got into that, I'm the guy that when someone had failed every other program of addiction recovery, they come to me and I help people build their own personalized strategy and set of rituals. You know, and that's what my personal coaching is in discovering what personal rituals can anyone do where they can create a life that is more fun to live than drugs were. You know, that's... So it's kind of a substitution. Trade your drugs in for the life that you've always wanted, and we go about it that way without any type of dogma or, you know, old systemic. Everything that someone does comes from their own internal vision of getting in touch with their soul, you know. So I still do that, you know.
Amazing. Well, this has been incredible. I feel like we could go on for like another 2 hours,
yeah.
But thanks for coming on and being on again. I know that this was something that the audience was really looking forward to. So I'm glad that we got a chance to do it. And I think it's really exciting that we got a chance to do it right before your podcast launches. So
I'll have you on my podcast at some point.
Yes.
I've been doing monologue to start, just to get them in the can,
yeah,
you know, as our team has asked me to do. So
yeah. So it's not perfect. It's often messy. But
it's beautiful.
Yes, it's beautiful. And it's been an incredible journey and adventure and will continue to be. And, you know, I think that's all that really you can ask in a partner or in a relationship. And so, you know, find somebody that supports you and believes in you and will help you see your visions and dreams to fruition, and that you can have a lot of fun with, and that is your best friend. That's my best relationship advice that I feel like I can give.
Yeah.
So I hope you enjoyed our second episode of The Wealth Witch Show.
Yeah.
I am your host, Leah Steele. Until next time, please remember, it's your divine birthright to be wealthy in all areas of your life, including your relationships, and you are so worthy and you are so deserving. See you next time. That's a wrap. Thank you for joining me. Remember, wealth is a mindset, and you are the most powerful creator in your reality. Until next time, this is Leah Steele, the Wealth Witch, signing off.